As you know, we got a series going on in here, and it's mid-acts dispensationalism is what it is, and we're just going through the very basics of it. And today, what we covered last week, we covered the mystery and some six aspects of it, but today we want to talk about Israel and the body of Christ, how they are different. See, a lot of people just can't see that. They just can't. How about going to Romans chapter 11? And let's look at that. Romans chapter 11. Verse 13, y'all know these by heart. You know, rather than Christ's 12 apostles that was sent to Israel, Paul says something about this himself. 11:13. Because we know those apostles, they were 12 of them.
Romans 11:13.
That Christ sent, he picked, he sent those to Israel, the nation Israel. But Paul in 11:13 of Romans says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. I extol it. I bring it. I make it large. I am the guy that Jesus Christ chose, the risen Savior." Now, you know, I'm dealing with a guy from the Church of Christ up in Ott right now, and he just don't even want to listen to this. I asked him, I said, because when he come out with water baptism and things like this, and I said, yes, that was true, but it's not written to you. And we tried to explain what an administration was, a dispensation and an age. You know, there's information that has to be administered to us. It's information that Jesus Christ wants administered to us. But it's not a time period in essence, but it does take time to administer this information. Or his purpose. In the way I see an administration is like the presidency of the United States. The presidency does not change. The office of the president does not change, but they change administrations. And each president has his own policies, and that's the administration that we have to put up with for X number of years. It just so happens Jesus Christ is administering through us, through the Apostle Paul and through us, for this age that we're living in, and it will change because everybody seems to want to tell you that God never changes. He's the same as yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that's absolutely true. But he changes in how he deals with people in different administrations, dispensations, however you want to call it. You ain't got to go to some of these scriptures, but in Romans chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "The minister," Paul says, "I'm a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." In Ephesians chapter 1, he says, "I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul, and Paul alone, refers to this present time that we live in as the dispensation of the grace of God. He's the only one that ever said that. You'll never find Peter saying anything about the dispensation of the grace of God. It was non-existent to him. It wasn't written to him. Instead of Israel being, as in Isaiah 42, verse 6, if you want to see what that says, you can just go over there. But it says, it's to a light for the Gentiles. Israel is not a light to the Gentiles today. There ain't no way. But that's what it said. But Paul alone there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. Let's go over there and see what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. Paul writes this, but right prior to it, it says, "If I preach not the gospel," at this point in time, he's talking about the gospel of Christ. "For if I do this thing willingly," verse 17, "I have a reward." What's that? Preach the gospel. "But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." So we know that a dispensation of the gospel was committed unto the Apostle Paul. Rather than following in the footsteps of Christ, and you'll see people all over the place trying to, "I want to follow Christ." Christ didn't come into this world to show you how to live. He came into this world to die for you and to save sinners of all kinds, of all nationalities, of all colors, you name it. That's what he came into. And Paul calls himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, "I'm the first." What did he mean? Well, he was the first person saved into the body of Christ, which was a mystery in itself. "And I'm the pattern. Jesus Christ sent me into this world to tell you this. I'm a Roman, but I'm a Jew. I'm the world's chief sinner, guys. If you can save me, you can save anybody." That's just the foreshadow of all Jews and Gentiles into the body making one. The unity of one man, as Christ is the head. That's what that is. But you know, when God sent Jesus Christ into this world, Jesus Christ sent the Apostle Paul. There is no doubt about it. I've heard it so many times. Y'all worship Paul. No, we don't. We worship Jesus Christ and God Almighty because it's God's righteousness that's placed upon our account once we trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which is the Christ crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead. You can't mistake something so simple. But what this did, whenever Paul was sent by Jesus Christ into the world, it showed something. It showed that we're no longer under what Peter's gospel was preaching about the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. There's a dispensational change taking place here, guys. That's what it is. And we know the book of Acts is a transition book. That's what we know. Now, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Well, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, right? That's a fact. Unmerited favor. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Now, it's not of works. But in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, what did he say? Not by works of righteousness. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus that we're supposed to believe, because it's in the 13 epistles that was written directly to us. That's our mail. That's what it is. What about going to Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. Well, you know, we don't have to do all of those commandments. But that's what He told Israel. How about going to John chapter 5? You know, it said do those commandments. But if you wanted to take the Bible literally, when God told Noah to build a boat, we'd be out here working on a boat. He said sacrifice. We'd be out slitting the throats on something and you'd be bringing the blood up here. Come on. John chapter 5. Verse 29. Sure, I'm in the right place. Now, I want you to see this. And it says, the Lord reaffirmed these things, the need for a performance. We see, we're not under any form of performance, of works or whatever. When He said, and they shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. They that have done good. Well, I don't see that I've done anything good, but I've got eternal life. I'm not under a performance-based system. It's not what I do. Because go to Romans chapter 4, verse 5. I'm going to show you where we're at. Romans chapter 4. We're talking about dispensationalism. See, there's been a dispensational change of administrations, guys, in that salvation now is in Romans 4, 5. Look at me. It says, but to him that worketh not. Well, right prior to John 5, 29, you had to do some performance of good works, but to him in verse 5 of 4, but to him that worketh not, that's me, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that's Jesus Christ, his faith, Christ, is counted for our faith, is counted for righteousness. It's the faith in the faith of Christ. That's what saves. Now, we had a change, there's no doubt about it, in the dispensations or the administrations of what God wanted us to see. We see that in this room. But the world doesn't see that. They've yet to see the truth. And I mentioned this in here once before, and I want to do it again. Ralph knows this individual, so I won't bring his name up. He's dead. But he witnessed to a fellow that comes to our assembly. And he said, You're the only one, since I was a child, I was raised in this church, back under E.C. Moore. He said, you're the only one that I've ever witnessed to, and I've witnessed to tons of people, he said. You're the only one, and he was talking to this guy that still comes here, that has ever saw what I was talking about. And that's what I'm talking about right here. You know, the administration, the change has took place. The dispensation that we call that is changed and it's taken place. You know, the thing of it is, that's why people don't see it. Why do we see it? Brother Moore told me one time, now, I don't know if he could back it up or if it was just one of his beliefs. I believe the same thing. But he planted it with me because we always ask, as I was learning some of the truths of the mysteries that we're supposed to be stewards of, I said, you know, how can we be right? The whole world, are they wrong? You know, just like Brother Carson got saved in a Presbyterian church, didn't know anything about Rodney dividing the word of truth. Can't see that. But you could still get the gospel in various different places as long as they don't pervert it. But he told me, E.C. did, he said, Byron, he said, there's things that we see, certain people see. We're not special above anybody else as far as salvation, but there's certain things that we see in truths of this King James Bible that the world does not see. And he says, I believe there's a place for us with, we're all in Christ if you're saved. But there's a special place for the people who see this eternal truth of rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, that was his belief there. I mean, he didn't take me to no scripture to show it to me. And I'm going to tell you, I absolutely believe the same thing. Why else would some of us, these people in this room here, understand these truths that the world hasn't seen yet and probably never will? About that young man that told this other fellow right here, I would say he was probably 40, 45 when he told him, so he wasn't a young man. But he told him, it's just like Josh there. When he starts talking and witnessing to people, you can probably talk for the next 30 years and you can count on probably one hand the number of people that actually believed what you were saying and trusted it and looked it up. That's why you don't see a multitude of people in here. They don't see this. The Holy Spirit probably has tried to show them, and they're in a form of rejection, even if they're saved, because of previous religious baggage, friends, family, relatives, those kind of things. But the administration changed. Now, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. Now, in this dispensation of the age in which we're living in, and its doctrinal content, and that's what we're talking about, doctrine. You've got to have the right doctrine. It had never, ever been shown to anybody before the Apostle Paul. Never. I don't care who tries to tell you the body of Christ is in the Old Testament, and I've got a friend trying to show me that. It's not. It is not there. Now, how about going to Ephesians chapter 3? I'm going to read a little bit.
That's because they associated with the church. That's the reason why they do that. Ephesians chapter 3.
Ephesians chapter 3. That's nice. Come on. Ephesians chapter 3. Go to verse 1. Now, Paul states something here. He said this dispensation is not known. So let's read in verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Do you understand the knowledge that Paul had in the mystery of Christ? If you do, you'll be able to understand it yourself, because Paul was very clear in what he said in his writings. There is no mistakes. So if you don't understand it, you need to pray about it. Because there's some people out here that's saved. Undoubtedly, they don't have the desire or the... I don't know what it is. But I know, even though they're saved, the God of this world will come in and try to put blinders upon you to keep you from further seeing things, so you can continue to witness to people in the more depth, in the deep things of God. And that's what these things are. This is not just milk. These are deep things of God. These mysteries are. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known. That's what I want you to see. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is that? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, you know, people out there, we were talking about in the first service, John Hagee, you've got to bless the seed of Abraham. Get them Jews back into their country. They're gathering all over the world. But the revelation of the mystery in this dispensation is so important. I want you to listen. To see and to understand the consequences of not knowing this is absolutely dire. Because God's eternal truth, and you may disagree with me here, requires rightly dividing the word of truth. You do not have to know about rightly dividing the word of truth to be saved. But I'm telling you what, the eternal truth, it's in here. He's showing it to us by Paul's ministry. Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, sent Paul into this world, struck him down and blinded him, and gave him all this progressive revelation that we're supposed to follow. He is our pattern. Now, you know, the Bible, specifically for mid-Acts dispensationalists, whenever we're talking about this, the Bible refers to basically always about Israel as the circumcision, because of that what? That covenant of circumcision which God instituted with Abraham. But us Gentiles, we were called and still are the uncircumcision. That's what we referred to. But there's something else about this. Well, see, there were some Gentiles who were in the covenants of promise. We just happened to never be those, because we were strangers. We had no such covenant as Abraham, that God had with Abraham. And we're strangers. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Just show you quickly as we move. Basics of mid-Acts dispensationalism. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Because in verse 11 he said, in time past you were in the flesh. But in verse 12 he says that at that time, in times past, you were without Christ. We were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and we were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We just didn't have any hope. That's basically the whole difference between the circumcision and not. We were without hope and without God in the world, if you want to simplify it. Go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Verse 14. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Oh, how about Exodus chapter 12? Verse 48. Exodus 12, 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn, travel with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it, And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For, listen to this, no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Man, you were just out of it. How about going to Ezekiel 44? Ezekiel 44, starting verse 7. In that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offered my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all of your abominations. And you have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, he didn't beat around the bush, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. That's very explicit. No stranger. Now, there's got some prophecy here. The prophetic information in this King James Bible constitutes what's well known. How about going over to Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1. So we're talking about prophecy here. In Luke chapter 1, verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been, I want you to see this word, since the world began. And you know what? Even from this point on, even into, well into Peter's ministry, if you go to Acts chapter 3, verse 21, and compare this. Remember, since the world began. This was in Acts 1. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, talking about Jesus Christ, which God has spoken by the mouth of all, now here's where it comes, of his holy prophets, since the world began. So you've got it in Luke chapter 1, verse 70, and you've also got it in Acts and Peter's ministry here in verse 21. Since the world began. This was information spoken, it was prophecy spoken by the prophets. Was not kept secret, was not hid in God. But Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, he revealed some information to the Apostle Paul, because Paul has some very different kind of things to say. So if you go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25. Colossians 1:25. Paul says this, because he wrote the book of Colossians, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. There's something here that's a key to me. To fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest, appearing to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. You see what it says? It said it was hid from ages and from generations. Prior to that, we just read in Luke 1:70 and Acts chapter 3, verse 21, since the world began. Anybody could read that Bible at that time period, and even now, and go back there and see the prophetic information these prophets were reading to you. Needless to say, they killed the prophets, but it's still in the book. But now we see that Paul has said something different. How many people's going to recognize that? That it was hid from ages, but it was spoken since the world began. See, you know, we've got that, what we just read in Ephesians chapter 3 and this Colossians chapter 1, to show that a dispensation was being made known, excuse me, from the risen Christ to the Apostle Paul, and he was telling everybody. But God's prophetic information involved Israel only and the people in the covenants of promise, not us. Now, Christ revealed a new information, and that's what we're talking about. Remember hearing about the Titanic? Everybody pretty well knows what the Titanic was. It was a ship supposed to be unsinkable. I don't know what year that went down. Anybody know?
1912.
It's supposed to have been a great. And people will tell you that there was about roughly 1,532 souls lost on that Titanic. Well, that's not doctrinally true. The only souls that were lost is the people who were unsaved. That's true. The other people, oh, their souls weren't lost. Because if you'll tune in, I think it's later in this, I can't remember right now, I'm going to show you, no, it's on Wednesday night, I'm going to show you where the soul never dies. So we know these souls have eternal life. Now, but if a person, I'll say a soul, fails to trust the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, then that right there is the revelation of the mystery. Then you are eternally shipwrecked and you are lost eternally. No doubt about it. I told you last week about this right here. Rightly dividing the word of truth is not optional. It isn't. It's part of the eternal truth coming into the knowledge of the truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, for all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. It's here in the book. This is why we teach it. This is why we preach it. This is why we show people. It's an eternal truth of God that you and everyone else that we can talk to needs to know about. You know, Jesus Christ walked around on the face of the earth here, and he had 12 apostles that he handpicked. He even picked the one named Matthias. He picked the one to take Judas's place, no problem. But they preached to Israel. Now, what was the content of their message? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven. No doubt about it. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching. What? What did Jesus preach? The gospel of the kingdom. That's very explicit. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. We know in the millennial kingdom there is not going to be any sickness. No disease. That's why he's getting everybody healed. It was a precursor to the kingdom. Now, go on over to Matthew again, chapter 9. Verse 35. He's in Capernaum then. And the Bible says, and Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Well, if he was teaching in the synagogues, that was the Jews, wasn't it? And preaching the, what? The gospel of the kingdom. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He healed everything that was in sight of him. And some people that even run up and touched the hem of his garment got healed because of their faith. But going to Matthew 24. Verse 14. It's going to be a tribulation scripture. This is going to happen again, though. And this gospel, verse 14 of chapter 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. Now, did you notice anything about what Jesus Christ preached in the 12? This gospel of the kingdom of heaven did not include the cross of Christ, which is the crucifixion, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did not. All it was doing was showing you that we drawed out earlier, Christ was crucified, but that's not part of it. But so what they were doing, and I'm going to draw like we know, but what they were doing, the tribulation is here, rapture here. And then what they were doing was preaching this, the literal reign of Jesus Christ in a kingdom. That's what they were preaching. Now, how about going to Mark chapter 9? Verse 31. See there, in the verse 30 says, as they departed and passed through Galilee. In verse 31, for he, that's Jesus Christ, taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man, that's him, is delivered into the hands of men. And they shall kill him, and after that he shall rise the third day. Going over to Luke chapter 9. He's telling his disciples what's going to take place. Luke chapter 9, verse 44. Luke 9, 44. Christ said this. Well, and back in verse 43, the latter part, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man, which is him, shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Go to John chapter 20. Basics of mid-Acts dispensationalism. John chapter 20, verse 9. For as yet, as the disciples, they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Well, he told them. It just wasn't revealed to them to understand it at that time. But he told them. We've already been to the scriptures where he told them. The Apostle Peter, Jesus Christ, give the keys of the prophetic program to the Apostle Peter. But you know, remember when Christ told him about the cross? He didn't believe it. He tried to stop it by whacking the ear off of Eutychus. I believe it was Eutychus.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus Christ reached down, picked up the ear, and stuck it back on. If I'd have been Eutychus, I'd have said, hey, there goes my sword. I'm leaving this bunch. That is the Son of God. That's the Messiah. I can't believe they thought it was witchcraft or through Beelzebub and, you know, through Satan. Oh my goodness, how could they? But I understand it. Now, do you think we've even got to anything about the preaching of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God? These people didn't know anything about the cross as far as preaching it. It's for salvation. They didn't know anything. How about going to Matthew 16? Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth, but in verse 20 he says, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, because we, in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples, started to show them how that he must go in unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. in verse 22, look at this. After, then Peter took him, took Christ, and began to rebuke Christ, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, Peter knew the Old Testament scriptures. It was obvious. But you know what? So do the Jews today. They know the Torah, believe me. They still don't believe Jesus Christ as the Messiah has come. Oh, there's going to be a little remnant saved out of them. Because that's what God wants. But the gospel of the kingdom is about a earthly reign, okay? Paul declares the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to something. What is it? According to the revelation of the mystery from the risen Savior to him. What's it all about? It's about Calvary's cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ for salvation to everyone today. There's no doubt about it. How about going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to finish with this. You couldn't finish with a better scripture whatsoever. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the ultimate. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, Paul writes to these carnal Corinthians, I declare unto you the gospel. What is that? You know, there's good news in the gospel. But there wasn't good news, and we'll get to it next week, when Peter preached the murder indictment about the gospel. Oh, no. But, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What was that? That we're talking about the gospel of Christ here. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Those in the covenants of promise is what this is speaking of. But it's our gospel in the dispensation of the grace of God, in the gospel of the grace of God. It's ours now. But, because the middle wall of has been removed, which I preached unto you. Paul preached something to these Corinthians. It was a gospel, the good news, which also you have received. They received it. And wherein you stand, I'm standing on a firm rock. Not quicksand, by which also you are saved. Well, the gospel saves. But the gospel is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. If you keep in memory, but you could have heard this and not believed it, if you don't keep it in memory, in your heart, and trust it, it's not going to save you just because you heard it. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, and you can believe in vain, we have those guys called lost believers. I happen to have been one of them at one time. We have people in our congregation that I believe are lost believers. Not a lot, but we have people who believe. They've just never trusted in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul says here in verse 3, for I delivered, I exhorted to you, I told you, and I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I received it from Jesus. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's your salvation. That's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We know the gospel, that Christ was crucified here, that He was buried, that He was resurrected from the dead for your justification. And that's Romans 4:25. It's a clear you of all sin. He paid for all of your sins. Fact is, this is the blood of Christ. Once you trust this, the gospel whereby you're saved, this blood is applied to your account. Blood has to be applied. I believe you can believe this to be a true historical fact. Really? I believe you can go to hell believing that. But if you don't trust it, you're not saved. You can believe it because I've always believed it. Ever since as far back as I can remember, I've always believed that right there. But I never trusted it for justification for me. Once I did, it became a personal salvation. Just for me. I know He died for the sins of the world. I know He died for everybody in this room, everybody on the outside of this room. But that don't matter to me as far as my personal salvation. He died for my sin. And the sin that was passed upon me from my great-grandfather Adam. So it's a personal salvation to me. I want everybody in the whole wide world saved because He said, the will of the Father is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. He's not going to make it happen, but it's His will. It's His desire that everybody that you know, all your friends and your relatives and everybody else that are saved. So if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do so today. It's a great day. You can always remember. It's Independence Day. Independent from all sin. That's a good day. Y'all have a nice 4th.